This is Robert Merglanci, the Mindshare Learning Report. We're fortunate to have a Mindshare Learning moment with Ron Canuel, the new CEO of the Canadian Education Association, who is formerly the Director General for the Eastern Townships School Board in Quebec. Thank you for joining us this morning, Ron.
Thank you, Robert. Pleasure.
Congratulations on being the newly minted CEO of the Canadian Education Association.
Thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to it.
So prior to making your move to the CEA, you served as the Director General for the Eastern Townships. What would you say are one or two of the highlights and achievements that you're most proud of?
Well, that's a good question, Robert. I think the two most proud accomplishments that I can feel that I can report back is the establishment of the START team professional development model, school targets and achievement results team, which was begun in 2002 as a new way, a new design of providing professional development for our teachers, where initially met with a lot of resistance, and at the end of the mandate, the six-year mandate, was actually met with petitions coming in to asking for the mandate to continue and to be prolonged. So just getting that shift of professional development consciousness in our district was fantastic. And the other accomplishment is our one-to-one laptop initiative that we began in 2003. And as recently as February of 2011, research from Dr. Kersanti indicating the overall great impact that it's had on student engagement, student learning.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, on that note, you were quite an innovator when it came to the one-to-one initiative, one of the first in the country.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, I believe we were the only public school board in Canada at that time to have begun it, and to date, I'm not too sure that there are very many. I know a number of other districts have contemplated it, but we have done it, and proud to say as well that it's in continuance, and also strongly supported by the communities and the teachers.
Now, so innovation is a hallmark of yours, and as it turns out, we have a mutual friend in Dr. Gary Steger, formerly of Pepperdine University, who presented at your district. You certainly put Quebec on the map with your one-to-one initiative. How did that come about, and what advice do you offer other districts who are looking to go down that path? We talked earlier about the notion of time and change and an accelerator around that.
That's a great question, Robert. One of the keys is that if you're looking to innovate, you're looking to getting people to change the way they behave, change the way they act. The most important element that I feel you need to do is to ensure that you're not going to be doing such an initiative using old traditional mechanisms. You've really got to change the way you go about doing even your regular day-to-day and doing a type of a reanalysis of this entire context and to say, is it viable, does it work, and is it also going to get the results anticipated? The other element, too, that I think is very, very important is that when you talk of innovation, when you move towards an innovative platform, you've got to think of assessment as well. You've got to think there's an important axiom. Assessment drives instruction. So if you provide to the teachers the clear context of what is it exactly are the outcomes expected from them, it's a lot easier backward by design to work and find the ways in which you can actually help them achieve it. So when we talk of, say, 21st century skills or preparing them for this, it becomes a very abstract notion until they actually can clearly see how it's to be assessed or what is the context of that assessment and how it's to be reported, not only to themselves, but to the communities and to the ministries.
And to this day, the one-to-one computing program continues? It's going well?
Absolutely. And to quote the president of the teachers' union in 2009, his terms were, I'll never forget, he said, teaching without laptops is like teaching in the prehistoric times. And I said to him, well, you've just seemingly just described the rest of Quebec. And he said, I didn't mean it that way.
Well, talk to me for a moment about sustainability and industry partnerships. How integral are those two elements?
Well, the sustainability is always one of the questions that always comes around. And this was one of the things that inspired us for making it systemic in terms of our approach. We wanted to avoid the pilot project, okay? And it's not because pilot projects don't work. Pilot projects, as a matter of fact, our history is riddled with outstanding pilot projects. The problem is that they never become systemic. Why? Because the capacity is built on it's too focused, it's too individualized on key individuals. Mm-hmm. So that if these people change schools or change communities, very often there's no one to keep it going. There's no one else to replace them to maintain that sustainability. So when you do something systemically, all of a sudden now you've built capacity right across the network. So if you move one person to another or another into somewhere else, it doesn't have that severe impact or the fear of that it will just die, which we've seen of many, many pilot projects in the past.
Right.
Industry involvement is a very critical component as well, because I think you have to differentiate as well between the industry context of what their expectations are, which is a for-profit notion, whereas and trying to merge it with the context of engagement and learning and transformation. So you have to find that happy harmony. You have to find the balance between someone who's willing to work and share your vision, and most importantly, and something that we really strive towards, was always making sure that we had corporate partners, not sponsors or suppliers. Partners, because people who were going to engage with us and be partners in this journey meant that they were with us in the long haul as well.
Very strategic. It's fortuitous that this month's issue of the Mindshare Learning Report is the Cross-Canada Spotlight is on Quebec. I haven't personally spent a lot of time in Quebec doing business, but it's one of my favorite places to visit. I'm hopeful that my kids will go to McGill one day, possibly. But perhaps you could shed some light on for the rest of Canada to better understand the education system, its unique language bill, and potential opportunities for partnership, to use that term again, for both education and industry.
Well, good points. In the province of Quebec, actually, it's rather sad because Canada is and Quebec, it's insular. We really don't know outside of Quebec what happens, nor do people know what happens inside Quebec. But in 1998, the government of Quebec at that time embarked on a major reconstruction of their curriculum and approach to a socio-constructivist approach. So what we saw beginning in 1999 and the slow integration over a period of 9 years was a whole massive curriculum reform, assessment reform that was based on constructivism. It was actually very, very inspiring, and it was wonderful timing with our integration of technology, because it served as a platform for that type of notion as well, of being more inquiry-based, being more inquisitive in terms of the ways in which we wanted the students to think differently and the ways we wanted the teachers to act differently. So in the province of Quebec, now in my new position here, I'm hearing of knowledge mobilization, I'm hearing of this going across the rest of Canada. Well, in effect, this started in Quebec about 10 years ago, the whole what they call la mobilisation des connaissances. So we have this whole shift that had already occurred, and it was proceeding and moving through, but then they ran into issues and problems, primarily around the notion of assessment, but also in terms of communicating to the Quebec society, and particularly the Quebec parents, just what this approach really meant and how it was going to make a difference. So they ran into major communication problems, and as a result, over the last couple of years, we've seen something of a regressive movement and bringing back more of a type of standardization assessment notion, while at the same time trying to keep the curriculum intact. As an example, elementary schools are not divided by grades 1 to 6. They're divided by 3 2-year learning cycles. So that's right. And The high school is divided into different types of cycles as well. The corporate context, again, it's always very different, because the Quebec culture is a very different culture in terms of even their perceptions on things and how they see things. There was a law passed in the mid-1990s that actually forbid corporate involvement within schools, that anything that could target students. So school districts, ministry is always very wary of how to approach it. And in our case, as I mentioned to you, we were able to do it, provided in terms of the partnership context. So that notion of how to approach it with respect to school districts should always be in that notion of partnering, but partnering in a way that would not necessarily be into the classrooms and being seen as advertising in one way or the other.
Right. Let's turn our attention to your newest adventure and new chapter in your life in the Canadian Education Association, a 100-year-plus organization. That for the most part, you know, when you talk to people, it seems to have been a well-kept secret in the past. You know, what attracted you to this organization? I certainly see the vast potential you bring to it with your skill set and successful track record in the past.
Right. Well, my predecessor, Penny Milton, really worked in the last few years in establishing a type of transformational agenda and moving the association to one away from facilitation to one more of leading. going about this, one of the initiatives that she brought forth, which I think is invaluable and then is proving itself to be invaluable, is what did you do in school today? The focus on intellectual engagement. In other words, how we have to really start paying a lot more attention to, you know, the notion that kids can do school. You know, as we know, they can do school and they can do tests. So they can really succeed well on these type of measurements. However, what our research has been showing is that they're doing it, but they're also reporting that they're not necessarily very engaged. In other words, it's not very stimulating. They're not finding applications and relevancy of what they're learning. So those students who are good enough and capable enough to succeed, do it and succeed. And those who don't, well, we see they drop out.
So on that note, how do you intend to transform the organization to be more relevant? What are some of the challenges and opportunity around the whole notion around 21st century learning?
Well, what we have right now is and my mandate is really to go out there now and to really talk and to share with colleagues at the ministry level, at the school district level, at the parent level, at the educator level, teacher level, what we have within the CEA as we stand now and as we speak, it's a very content-rich organization. There is a lot of information. We also have to try to convince people, and the big challenge is really to start looking at research and being a lot more astute with the use of research and also using research as a base to move forward, to get things to change, because in very, very many cases I've seen education, particularly attempts for innovation, being grounded down to nothing based on perceptions. Based on beliefs that people have that are entirely misplaced. So my role, I think, as a new CEO is now to get out there in both Quebec and in the Francophone parts of Canada, as well as in terms of we're looking at First Nations, in terms of looking at other parts of Canada as well, and demonstrating that we can do it. And as you mentioned before, Robert, I think it's important. The CEA is very, very well positioned because we are seen very much as a neutral body. So we're not advocates for a specific group. We're not, or a belief or a philosophy per se. We're just advocating that we need to really mobilize and keep trying to stay ahead of the expectations of society and trying to anticipate them.
Canada is a very broad country nationally and fragmented in many respects. How do you, you know, we don't have a National Department of Education. Mm-hmm. I always ask this question to my interviewees. Does it hinder us, or is it an advantage?
I would tend to think, because of the experience that I've seen elsewhere, that it's actually an advantage. And the reason I say that, because at one time I did articulate, well, we don't have a national voice, and national voice in education, in public education per se. And what I did start to see in observing elsewhere, well, in the context of where there were these centralized voices, what then tended to happen is that we saw that there were major shifts that were occurring sometimes within 4 or 5 years based on ideological beliefs, based on all sorts of economic shifts and changes and conditions that all of a sudden kept steering education in different ways. One thing we do know, and the research is clear there too, and that is if we're expecting education to change, you know, we can do things and we can accelerate it, but the results sometimes do take time. The bigger challenge I think we have is that even though we don't have a national voice, is that we do have to work collegially, though. And this is why I think is a big challenge we have is the issue of silos. There are way too many educational silos. I have seen way too often school districts who are doing fantastic things in one district that could easily be replicated in the other, but because it wasn't created in their own district, it doesn't retain the same value. And we have to break that down. We have to stop thinking that way and to start honestly, openly looking at each other and saying, what can you share with me as a best practice, as a research-based, evidence-based practice that I can incorporate and integrate into my system that would benefit the students? And that's what it needs to look at. Maybe put our pride aside and think a little more in terms of how it can really impact the teachers positively and for the kids.
Exciting times. Well, I admire your passion and persistence in having achieved some great things in your previous role as Director General at Eastern Township of Quebec, and I wish you the best success. Any final thoughts to share with our listeners of the Mindshare Report?
Well, I'm really looking forward to working with you and with your organization as well, because I think that there's a really great synergy that can happen, and getting people across Canada who have the same type of beliefs and who understand the challenges but are willing to take them on and to say, listen, let's do what we think is best for kids, because that's what it's all about.
Thank you so much for your time. That was Ron Canuel, the newly minted CEO of the Canadian Education Association. My name is Robert Martellacci, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.